I'm joined by Gaith Abdul Ahad, who's just returned from the eastern province of Deir ez-Zor. Gaith, you wrote this fantastic piece today, quoting members of the Free Syrian Army saying that they controlled 90% of the province. Did it seem like that to you?
Yes, totally. I traveled in Deir ez-Zor. We traveled for hours without meeting any government troops, any government checkpoints. The very few bases and checkpoints are concentrated around oil fields, military installations. And for the first time, the FSA have the Free Syrian Army. They have more soldiers, more fighters than the government forces at this moment. So they do have control. Yet at the same time, they only have, you know, AKs and RPGs. They can fight a skirmish in a street. They cannot attack a base because they don't have artillery, they don't have tanks, they don't have anything.
What's difficult to understand from the outside is that how they can control such a swath of territory with those kind of weapons.
Because, you know, it's a death by a thousand cuts. So, you know, every single village, I mean, the Syrian army cannot fight in every single village and every single town. Back in winter, they started losing their grip on the countryside, not only in Deir ez-Zor, but in Idlib, in Aleppo, in other provinces. You know, the Americans in Iraq, they had a far, you know, superior power. They had a much better army, and they couldn't control the countryside during the insurgency. So it's very, very difficult to control this countryside in this region. Yet at the same time, how do you move that from, you know, from controlling a village into controlling a whole province? That's the, you know, that's the dilemma of the FSA.
Hillary Clinton's been talking about wanting the opposition to form some sort of transition government, and you know, maybe after the establishment of a safe haven inside Syria. How far do you think they are away from establishing some kind of safe haven enough to set up a government?
In reality, they have safe havens. These are de facto safe havens. Everyone was waiting for the West to intervene, for Turkey to intervene, to help the Syrians, or, you know, to create a safe havens. And the reality is, the safe havens are there in the eastern side, in the border with Iraq, on the northern side of the country with Turkey. So they do have safe havens. Now, forming a unified command structure, that is the real challenge for the FSA. You know, in a small village I visited, there were like two military councils in that village. In the whole province of Deir ez-Zor, there are like, you know, 20, at least 20 battalions. You have Islamists, you have seculars. You have a huge level of mistrust. And that's the strength of the FSA, but that's also its... That kind of, you know, scattered structure is the strength of the FSA, because they couldn't, you know, you can't kill one leader and end the rebellion. Yet at the same time, that's the main challenge. How do you unify all these different groups, all these different villages, all these different neighborhoods and streets into one main structure?
So is that the kind of their, almost their biggest challenge now, or their next challenge now, forming some sort of another?
Yes, I do see the next challenge, unifying all these different groups. I mean, even in Libya, they were more unified because there was the National Transitional Council, which was accepted as the main umbrella body that kind of, you know, contains all opposition parties. Here, they don't even have that. Even the National Council in Istanbul doesn't, you know, doesn't have the legitimacy amongst all different groups. So how do you unify these kind of different units? Now, even the fighters on the ground, they think they have the right, which is, you know, they do have, they, you know, because they are on the ground, they are fighting. The difference between the different groups of fighters, the difference between the exiles and the people inside the country, the difference between seculars and Islamists. So it's a really chaotic scene at the moment. They are unified by one goal, fighting Bashar al-Assad. But once that goal kind of disappears, you see the cracks emerging. Again, you see that very clearly in areas they control. Once they don't have a Syrian army to fight, once there is no security risk, all the differences start appearing on the surface. In a couple of places, there have been clashes between, you know, battalions of the FSA.
Go and describe that a bit more.
kind of local clashes over who is the supreme commander, who controls the weapons. Remember, there is no one channel of money and weapons coming to these different groups. The money is coming through mainly through donations. Money is coming mainly through donations. You know, everyone's talking about Qatar and Saudi Arabia, but the reality is most of the money is coming through Syrian exiles in the Gulf. So people are fighting over these resources. Who is the legitimate force in a village? Who is the legitimate force in a town? These are creating so much friction between the units that they are, you know, fighting. It's a secret at the moment. I mean, it's like they don't want to talk about it, but there are clashes happening.
Has anyone died in these clashes?
Yes, of course. I mean, clashes with RPGs, with mortars, with you know, hand grenades and Kalashnikovs. I mean, at one point, there is the weapons are so expensive and so scarce, and they're really trying to find enough weapons to fight the regime. Yet, and from the other instances, it's few instances at the moment. You see different battalions of FSA fighting each other.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. That was, you know, I was. It happened 3 weeks before I arrived to Deir ez-Zor.
Did you get any sense that the regime's forces were being stretched because of what was going on in Damascus and Aleppo?
You know, I would like to say that, but I was in Deir ez-Zor when the battles of Damascus started, when the four senior officers were killed, ships were down even as the battles were raging in Damascus. And that's very interesting. You know, can you imagine this garrison fighting on the edge of the empire while Rome is burning? So I don't think the nerve structure, of the regime has collapsed yet. If they can maintain control over a tiny little, you know, garrison in Deir ez-Zor, if they can maintain you know, communications with their forces in different places, I think the regime hasn't collapsed yet.
You've been in and out of Syria a number of times over the last few months. Is it becoming easier to do now?
Yes, of course. I mean, on the western side of northern Turkey, of northern Syria, and the border with Turkey, it's becoming very, very easy. It's almost just, you know, crossing a line. Where I cross from the eastern side of northern Syria, it's still a bit tricky because the Kurdish, and this is a totally different dimension to the, you know, to the issue. Kurdish forces allied with the Syrian government, the PKK, for example, those are manning checkpoints now, in alliance with security forces, with Syrian security forces. So we, you know, we had to kind of sneak in and out in a very, very, you know, sketchy situations.
How do you see it playing out over the next few months?
Well, I think, you know, as they lost the countryside, I think the battle now for the cities, can the different groups of the FSA coordinate, you know, concentrated attacks on the cities? Can they liberate the city? Can they hold the city? Can they form a transitional council or a form? I think this is the main thing. But I do see the end game. You know, I see, you know, the regime is crumbling. Aleppo will be lost. After Aleppo, Damascus, some bits of Damascus, then probably Assad and his forces will withdraw to the coastal cities where the Alawites are a majority there. Unless, you know, there is a, you know, a palace coup and someone puts a bullet in the head of it. And that's, you know, it's a totally different scenario than that says.
Okay, Gaith. Well, thanks very much for sparing the time. I'll let you get back to your noisy train.
Thank you.